This week on Art on the Air features Grammy-nominated pianist, vocalist, songwriter, radio host Judy Carmichael, who is one of the world's leading interpreters of stride and swing piano. Next, we have Chad Clifford of Front Porch Music, who fronts his own solo act, The Crawpuppies and The Mega Beatles. Our spotlight is on Memorial Opera House's January 21st concert featuring The Mega Beatles.
Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. You're in the know with Esther and Larry. Art on the air today. Stay in the know with Larry and Esther. Art on the air our way. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world.
Welcome. You're listening to Art on the Air on Lakeshore Public Radio, 89.1 FM and WVLP, 103.1 FM, our weekly program covering the arts and arts events throughout Northwest Indiana and beyond. I'm Larry Breckner of New Perspectives Photography, right alongside here with Esther Golden of The Nest in Michigan City.
Aloha, everyone.
We're your hosts for Art on the Air. Art on the Air is supported by an Indiana Arts Commission Arts Project Grant through South Shore Arts and the National Endowment for the Arts. Art on the Air is heard Friday at 11 a.m. and Monday at 5 p.m. on WVLP 103.1 FM, streaming at WVLP.org, and every Sunday at 7 p.m. on Lakeshore Public Radio 89.1 FM, also streaming live at lakeshorepublicradio.org, and is available on Lakeshore Public Radio's website as a podcast. Our spotlight interviews are also heard Wednesdays on Lakeshore Public Radio. Information about Art on the Air is available on our website, breck.com/AOTA. That includes a complete show archive, spotlight interviews, plus our shows are available on multiple podcast platforms, including NPR One. Please like us on Facebook, Art on the Air, WVLP, for more information about upcoming shows and interviews. And we'd like to welcome to Art in the Air Spotlight from the Memorial Opera House. They're going to talk about what's coming up in this new year and also some of the things that just happened in the past year. And we appreciate that. We have Scott P.J. McDonald and Andrew Brent from the Memorial Opera House. They're going to tell us about some of the things coming up, especially like Mega Beatles and beyond. Welcome to Art in the Air Spotlight.
Thanks. Hey, thanks for having
welcome.
Us.
Well, you have coming up, I mean, well, let's look back a little bit. The weather impacted one of your concerts earlier on, so tell us a little bit about that. That was the holiday concert, and you managed to get through that, but you had to reschedule it.
Yeah, that was the Holiday Pops concert that was originally scheduled for December the 22nd with South Shore Orchestra because of really bad weather, as we've noted, and everybody made it through. We rescheduled that till Tuesday, December the 27th. So right after Christmas, Santa still showed up. It was still a great, almost sold out crowd. Really, really wonderful time with some great holiday music. So looking forward to future events with them.
Sure. And did they do just one concert or did you a couple concerts with you?
So they're kind of in the same boat as everybody that's involved with the arts right now of still recovering from the global pandemic. So I believe that in 2023, we're actually looking at scheduling a summer concert with them as well as the Holiday Pops. And then hopefully we can get back into a regular rotation where they were coming three or four times a year moving forward.
And we talked about in the previous interview, and you also had the Limelights, and they did Elf Jr. And so tell us just briefly how that went.
Yep, that was 12 performances of Elf Jr., and almost every single one was sold out. It was really an incredible time. It was probably one of our most popular and best-selling Christmas shows. The fact that you can do a show in an hour at Christmas time and people feel great about it and can get on with their day and their shopping and other things, it really was a home run.
That's great. And you directed that. So it was got to be fun having all those kids on stage.
I know, it seemed like so much fun.
Yeah, it was. 40 kids is a lot, but, you know, it works.
Just like herding cats. Well, now let's move into the new year, and happy new year to both of you. And you have Mega Beatles, and that's coming on January 21st. So tell us a little bit about the background of that and everything.
Sure. Andy, you want to take that one?
Yeah, sure. So I believe this is our eighth performance, not necessarily consecutive because one of the years, I think 2020 was a hiccup or 2021, one of those years, but they weren't there. But typically we've done them annually for about 8 years. Every January, they kind of kick off our concert series for the year. We're getting back on track this year. It'll be no different. We anticipate a sellout. It's always a sellout crowd. It's always a great time. So we're really looking forward to Mega Beatles. And like I said, they're kicking off a new concert series. We got 10 concerts lined up for 2023, and we're very excited about that.
Well, real briefly,
it's kind of exciting that their main album was that they're going to play is Revolver, and that was the Beatles never played that live ever. So here you go. You're going to have it.
The concert will be long enough that they'll do more than that, because they do all the old hits. You know, they just every song they play is a hit. It's just a great time.
Now, I want to go back to what you touched on, some of your other concerts you have coming up and events. So we don't want to miss out on that. And we're going to get back to those with either spotlights or features. Hopefully, we're going to. And then we are going to have Chris Caldwell, like I said earlier, for a feature interview kind of just before the concert. But tell us about some of the other events you have coming up.
Well, in March, we're looking at Elton Jeff and the Honky Cats. They did their world premiere with us last June. That was very exciting. That was a record sellout. That concert sold out in like a month and a half, and it was 3 months before the event even happened. So we're very excited about having them back. I hear they're making the rounds in the region. They're doing very well, very successful. On the heels of that will be Echoes of Pompeii, an excellent Pink Floyd tribute band that we've had back annually for several years now. They're always a great time. We've got a new blues double bill blues act coming, Cashbox Kings, who's been at the Opera House before, and they're going to double with Little Ed and the Blues Imperials. So we're very excited about that. That's also mid-April. We're looking at we do have a benefit that we're hosting for which will feature Willie Nile, and that's in June. We're looking at Midwest Big Band, who's big band jazz. They've been in our venue a number of times, very successful, very great concert, followed by Atlantic City Boys, who will be coming back in late June as well. And they're kind of a Jersey Boys tribute kind of band, and very, very fun, event. A lot of audience participation in that one. In August, we're looking at Marrakesh Express, which is a Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young tribute, followed by Bonfire, which is an AC/DC tribute. So you can see we're getting a lot of variety in our musical tastes this year. And then we're very, very excited about on August 26th, Roger McGuinn will be joining us. He hasn't been here for about 4 or 5 years. And we're real excited about that. And then I think we're going to have Midwest Big Band again in the fall.
Wow. Have a great season.
Of course, our orchestra and our main stage season, too. So,
well, and let's talk a little bit about the main stage and your theatrical things going on. You have something coming up, well, I know in May, but maybe you have something before then?
Yeah, we have 5 shows lined up for the year. The first weekend of March, we open up with Lucky Stiff, the musical. And then April, May, we're doing Nonsense. And then this summer, we'll be doing the 25th annual Putnam County Spelling Bee, which that is just a mouthful. And we'll be doing Little Shop of Horrors this fall, and then White Christmas next year at this time, at the holidays. We're also launching the first Indiana chapter of the Penguin Project, which is theater for students with physical and mental limitations. It's also a mentoring program. We're participating in that with the Boys and Girls Club and Opportunity Enterprises, and we'll be mounting Annie for 1 weekend in September. So we're very, very excited. So really, really exciting season. It's our 130th anniversary this year. I'm very, very excited about all the things coming down the pike.
Well, we're almost ready to wrap up here, but we want to give you an opportunity to tell us about how people can find out about Memorial Opera House if they don't know already.
Sure. They can visit the website at memorialoperahouse.com. That's memorialoperahouse.com. They can also stop in at the box office at 104 Indiana Avenue in Valparaiso, or give us a call, 219-548-9137.
Well, we appreciate you coming on Art in the Air Spotlight. That's Scott P.J. McDonald, Andy Brent. Thank you so much for coming on the show and sharing everything that's going on there.
Absolutely a pleasure.
Thanks.
Thanks.
Art on the Air Spotlight and the full 1 hour Art on the Air program on Lakeshore Public Radio is brought to you by Macaulay Real Estate in Valparaiso, Olga Patrician, Senior Broker. And a passing of note, beloved watercolorist Fran Danner, 86 of Highland, who is a member of many local art organizations with numerous exhibits to her credit and a very dear soul, peacefully passed away Thursday, December 29th, surrounded by her family. Rest in peace, Fran. You're listening to Art on the Air on Lakeshore Public Radio, 89.1 FM, and on WVLP, 103.1 FM.
Moon mist fills the air, it chills me. Thoughts of past regrets all around.
We would like to welcome Judy Carmichael to Art on the Air. Judy is one of the leading interpreters of classic swing and stride piano. She is also the popular host of Jazz Inspired, a radio program on NPR. The Grammy-nominated pianist has melded several loves into a new book called Great Inspirations, 22 Years of Jazz Inspired on NPR. Thank you, Judy, for joining Larry and I on Art on the Air. Aloha and welcome.
So nice. I'm so glad to be here. Thank you so much. Glad to be here.
We're so glad to have you. Judy, like our audience, likes to hear about our guests on the show, and I always like to start off with like kind of your origin story, all the way back to where you grew up, where you went to school, and everything. I always like to say, how you got from where you were to where you are now?
In 1 minute.
No, you have many minutes as you want.
Take a few.
Well, you'll like this. My folks grew up in Illinois, and so there's some Midwest connection there. And then they moved to California. I was born in California. And I didn't plan on a music career. I was doing some acting when I was younger and loved comedic acting. That's what I thought I was going to do and pursued that a bit. But I took 2 years of piano lessons from a teacher I didn't like a lot. Very common problem.
Yes.
So, and she didn't think I was going anywhere either musically. And so, but I, funnily enough, I played one tune kind of on a bet at a place to play on somebody's off night on the piano player. So only played one tune, only knowing five. And the guy hired me. And so I got the gig on one tune, Maple Leaf Rag, and my career started. And then I kept getting work. I heard some early jazz. I loved it. Then I started doing that, teaching myself how to do it. And one thing led to another. And all the older musicians I met kept saying, you have to go to New York. And I was already had a fantasy about New York from all the movies I'd seen. I moved to New York and I became a big star. How was that? Was that under a minute? How did I do?
You can do as many minutes as you want, Judy, though. We love to hear the extended story, like the early influences and everything like that. But I will jump ahead about one thing, and I think it's about the piano technique you use called stride piano, which is really originated like in ragtime historically and kind of lost it. But I know that even Count Basie made a comment about that you're one of the best stride piano players.
Yes, I was
I'm going to add to that question. So it's also known as boogie woogie. So how did it change? How are those interchangeable, boogie woogie and stride?
Okay, well, they're not the same thing. And boogie woogie is blues based. So those three chords usually, and boogie's talking about you're always hearing that phrase eight to the bar. It's because of these eight beats and they're different patterns in the left hand. So boogie is kind of its own thing. And you could go back and forth, like some of the guys like Pete Johnson, some of the great players played boogie and they played stride. Stride was is a style that grew out of ragtime and the great piano players, especially in New York, that had this great technique, which they did. They were schooled, many of them, pianists, and certainly the ragtime ones had to have a certain level of technique. When jazz started going and people started swinging the music, it wasn't quite like ragtime, but it still had that stride left hand. And what they're talking about with the stride left hand is that there are the left hand on the piano player is reaching very low on the keyboard and hitting the bass note and then making a huge leap up to the mid-range of the piano. So they're striding back and forth over the bass end of the keys. And so it was used more as a verb. People would say, man, that guy can really stride. But people refer to me as a stride pianist because there aren't that many people that are doing it. And Count Basie, that was his nickname for me. He called me Stride and told me that he was passing on the baton to me, that I was the person who was going to carry on this tradition. And it was a great honor and a very emotional moment because it was the last time I saw him play in person. I got to know him and he was my first inspiration because somebody gave me an early Count Basie record before he was Count Basie, when he was Bill Basie, right, in the Benny Moten Band. And I heard the record, I loved it, didn't know what it was, just liked the style and listened to it over and over, taught myself how to do it. And then years later met Basie and he heard me and started calling me Stride. So it's still a huge honor. And I take that with me all the time.
That's excellent. Well, tell us a little bit, too, about we got you to New York, and we jumped a little side note there, and then how your career has progressed from there, the different things you've done. And I know you've been Grammy nominated, so and everything, so which I'm a voting member for the Academy. So,
well, that was a big surprise to me. That was my first record. And I did that with some people who, you know, from those early years, I was quite a bit younger, was in my mid-20s. And it was Marshall Royal, who'd been Basie's, you know, lead tenor player for years, Red Callender, whose first gig was with Fats Waller, Harold Jones, great drummer, who's a bit younger than they. He's the one that's still with us. And Freddie Green, who became a great friend, the great guitarist, and was with Basie for 42, 43 years, something like that. So anyway, they were really the group that after we did that recording, they heard me, they really encouraged me and said, you've got to get to New York. And for those people who don't know this music really well, it really is swing music. If they think of those movies, those Fred Astaire movies from the 30s and 40s, that's really the music I'm drawing on, the Great American Songbook and the kind of music that makes you want to get up and dance, which is what really drew me. So I came to New York. I got a lot of support from the older musicians, and I find it still very touching and very significant because I'm just old enough that I met some of the people who invented jazz. And if you think about it that way, since jazz is so young, and they were thrilled to see this young person come along who was carrying on this tradition and going back to the beginning and really listening to the jazz all the way through. And, you know, those guys, they just wanted somebody with good time who swung. It was pretty basic, you know.
That's true. So, you know, your music kind of developed a whole style, and you are now in New York.
I am in New York. I live in the Hamptons. So I'm in a little village of the Hamptons called Sag Harbor. So I'm on the eastern tip of Long Island. So I go back and forth into New York City and Sag Harbor here.
And you've been touring for how many years?
I've been touring. Well, it really took off once I made that record and got a Grammy nomination. I'd say I started touring in my mid-20s. My first job was when I was 19. And I then worked lots of clubs and did all that in Los Angeles, and then worked at Disneyland for years, playing piano, and then lived both places for a while in the early 80s. And then in 85, I moved to New York, and I've been touring ever since. And it's just become more and more. I'm so thrilled you're asking me this because I'm going on tour, you know, after the pandemic. It's been touring from my kitchen to my living room to, you know, the piano room. It's not really. Now I'm going to Europe Sunday and finally getting back and coming out, going all over the place and then coming to you.
Right.
So finally getting back to touring. Yep.
Yeah, that's going to be February 11th at 7 p.m. Lakeshore Community Concerts at my old stomping grounds, Munster Auditorium. So that'd be great. We talked this off air before we started, but maybe you share with our audience a little bit how COVID impacted you and some of the fun things you actually did during COVID.
COVID was, well, it's been so tragic. I hate to say that it was good in any way because it's been so harsh for so many people. But I was one of the fortunate ones in that I was able to come up with some positive things to do during that time. I hadn't been home for, I was home for a year, which I hadn't been for maybe 20 years to be. I probably hadn't been home for a month. You know, I'm just never home that long. And so I think it was very healthy for me physically, emotionally, mentally to have that time at home. And I just became very positive in what I could accomplish and what I could focus on that I hadn't. And because I've never had the time. So I was telling you that I taught myself film editing and made some little films that people, I did the first one really is kind of a joke. And then people responded so well to it that I did it. People can look those up. They're called Lockdown Love. And I made these little videos with my quote, air quotes, international lovers, all played by the same COVID immune stuffed animal. And he would, I got the neighborhood, I got my old, the person who does she's got a dress shop, a tailor shop. So I had her make a beret for when he was a Frenchman. And I got a friend of mine who was in, he had been in MI6, so he speaks five languages. So I had him do some languages for me. So I got a whole like international crew. So it was fun. And it really, I learned new things. I learned a lot of new tunes. I wrote a lot. and was able to finish this book that you kindly recommend, you know, or suggested, and referred to the Great Inspirations book. I was able to finish that because of the pandemic.
So it was a productive period.
Yes, very.
Oh, no, I'm interested in, with all the traveling that you did and will be doing, do you have certain rituals that make you comfortable in new cities and venues? And what is it like approaching also a new piano that you haven't played before?
I think that's a really great question. I'm a great traveler. I never check luggage. I think that's the number one thing I can tell people. Never check luggage. I'm going to say it again. Never check luggage. You don't need all those clothes. I mean, I've been gone. I can go 2 months or more with a rollerboard and a backpack. So it's made me very conscious, all this travel, of what counts, what I really need, what I don't need. So that would be a ritual. And in terms of I unpack things right away when I get into a hotel room, although you never use drawers. You never do that because then you'll forget things. But I'll put all my makeup and things like that out in the bathroom, and I get all that together. That's kind of a ritual. I am very good at working on the road, so I never really feel like I'm on the road. I like it. I actually like being on an airplane. That's my time that no one can call. I don't do email. I'm away. I like it. And I find, and this was my original fantasy when I wanted to travel, one of my first memories when I was in elementary school, is that if you're working when you travel, people approach you very differently than if you're a tourist. And I love that. They just treat you differently if you're there and you're involved in their city. And I always try to fit in and speak a bit of the language on stage. I do that. And the pianos are challenging. I'm a Steinway artist, so I very often have a Steinway sent for me, but a lot of the venues can't afford a Steinway. And so I will not take the job if they don't have one. And so I try to always play on a good piano, but I've played plenty of terrible pianos. And you just have to, the advantage is you're not carrying your instrument with you. I don't have to worry about any of that. The disadvantage is you play what you see. And some are great pianos, and then others are what I call PSOs, which are piano-shaped objects.
I know. I bet that would, the way that they sound, because the Steinway has such a unique, rich sound to it, that does it become where you're playing the notes rather than, I mean, like, it's, I was very curious about the pianos.
Yeah, it's very sensitive of you to ask, because I can tell you're thinking of it on a much deeper level than people usually do. People just think, oh, did you play a piano and it was out of tune, or the keys didn't work, or things like that. But you're asking something deeper. And that is that Steinway is so far above every other piano. I fear that if Steinway ever stops, everything will lower, because, you know, people can't see me. You can, because you're looking at me, but Steinway's here and the next piano's here. And so it's like playing in black and white versus playing in color. And you have all of these different colors, all of these sounds, a different touch, everything. And you really can, if you're, it makes everybody sound better. But if you're a great pianist, you can do everything you think of. And what feeds back to you is so beautiful. It's a great dance partner, which then makes you relax more and go more into the music.
Right.
If you have something with a harsh sound coming back to you, you can't help yourself. It's like fingernails on a blackboard. You react. Because musicians, I always say we have ears like Dumbo. Our ears are even bigger. We're hearing everything. And you wind up then judging yourself. I've talked to other pianists, and you think, wow, I thought I could do that. Well, I don't really sound that good. Then you're thinking, so you can't improvise. You know, it's a terrible circular thing that's really hard to do. It's a big challenge. It's one of the biggest challenges of what I do.
Well, I hope you'll like the Steinway. We talked about that off air also, that it had been refurbished there at Munster. So
I'm sure it's going to be great.
I hope it is. I've not been there for 6 years, so I can't guarantee. Well, I guess we'd like to take a sample of your music, and I want you to set it up for us, a Deed I Do from the Come Get It CD. So tell us a little bit about that and take a listen to it.
Well, this was very exciting for me because I've only been singing for a short amount of time. I don't know the date on that, but about 10 years. And I had lots of vocal cord problems. So I didn't even sing in the shower. And so even getting to sing, which really radio work, my voice had gotten healthier. I really concentrated on it. And so that was really a big deal for me to make that CD and have some singing tracks on it. And I think the biggest surprise is how much I loved it. I remember thinking, wow, this is why people like to sing it. It just feels so good because I'd never even sing along with people, anything. I really had issues. And so this was a great recording session for me and loads of fun.
So let's take a listen to it. Deed I Do, Come and Get It, Judy Carmichael.
Do I want you? Oh my, do I? Honey, deed I do. Do I need you? Oh my, do I, honey? Deed I do. I'm glad that I'm the one who found you. That's why I'm always hanging round you. Do I love you? Oh my, do I? Honey, deed I do. Do I, honey? Deed I do. Do I need you? Oh my, do I, honey? Deed I do. I'm glad that I'm the one who found you. That's why I'm always hanging around you. Do I love you? Oh my, do I, honey? Deed I do. Deed I Do.
And that was Deed I Do, Come Get It CD, Judy Carmichael. Well, that was kind of fabulous. Yeah. So, well, tell us a little bit, since we're on radio and you're a fellow NPR person, tell us a little bit about the radio show.
Well, it's called Jazz Inspired. And years ago, I came up with the idea that from years of people telling me that they loved me, but they hated jazz, but they loved me. And then I talked to, that would always happen after a concert. Then I talked to other jazz musicians I knew. They go, oh yeah, that happens to me all the time. And I realized that people hear one thing very often, maybe that they don't like with jazz, and they just shut it off. They think, okay, I can't stand jazz, not realizing it's such a broad area of music. And because, as you know, there aren't a lot of jazz stations, and so people don't get to hear it. This is a music that you hear if a friend introduces you, a relative introduces you. Every single person I've talked to that likes jazz was introduced in that way. And because it's rare that you just happen to turn on the radio and think, oh, I love that now. So I thought if I could get all these creative people together that love it, that I knew or I found out and loved it. And if people then heard Billy Joel talk about why he loves jazz, or Seth MacFarlane, or Blythe Danner, or Glenn Close, some of my biggest names are Neil deGrasse Tyson, that maybe they'd give it a chance. But also it would be a chance to come at the creative discussion, a discussion about inspiration and creativity, in a different way. Because if I've got Roy Scheider in front of me and I don't ask him about Jaws, but I ask him about the first time he was in a jazz club, then he's going to give me different feedback. And I've had people really appreciate it. They comment on that, how different the conversation is. And it's somebody who's in the business with somebody else who's in the business. And I also thought, I came up when people were still doing stories on people just because they were interesting stories. You didn't have to have a huge record company behind you.
Right.
I mean, Entertainment Tonight did a 5-minute piece on me. They wouldn't do a 5-minute piece on Beyonce now, because it's all about selling. You know, it's all marketing. And I didn't even have a record company. And they did a 5-minute piece. Imagine on Entertainment Tonight. CBS Sunday Morning has done 2 pieces. They were both 12 minutes. They were long. My point is, I thought, if I can do this show, and I'm the producer, so I'm the one who's making the decisions, I can have 20% super famous people, then I can have 80% of a bunch of extremely talented people who should have an hour on NPR and never will. And I can have that opportunity to give to these people, and my own little fight for good in our business. So.
I know. I mean, Marion McPartland was such a big part of my life growing up. You know, I just loved her program.
Yeah, no, it was great. And I did her program early in my career, and she did mine late in her career, which was really fun.
Yeah.
And but she was, you know, she was not the producer. She was playing. It was a very different kind of show. So I wanted to do something very different. And because she was great at that. They've tried to do different versions. And that was Marion's thing. She could play all these different styles, and it was wonderful. But I can't imagine that show starting today.
No.
Right.
You know, that started a long time ago.
Well, you know, Judy, we're about ready to wrap it up here. It's gone so fast, and we're actually going to use My Lucky Day from your Can You Love Once More album as a playout. So what we want to know is about where people can find you online, both your radio show and you, and then we'll talk about your appearance coming up.
Fantastic. Well, judycarmichael.com, very easy, and jazzinspired.com to find the radio show. It's on all podcast platforms. And if they go to either of those places, they're at Stride Queen, my handle on all these things. And so, yeah, and I hope that they will tune in. That would be great.
Well, we're so glad to have you on Art in the Air. Judy will be February 11th at 7 p.m. Lakeshore Concert in Munster Auditorium, my old venue. She's a Grammy-nominated pianist, a Steinway artist, and a host of Judy Carmichael Jazz Inspired. Judy, thank you so much for coming on Art on the Air.
Thank you so much.
That was delightful.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate the time.
Sorrowful as can be, I want to be someone who dares, leaves my cares to finally set me free.
You're listening to Art on the Air on Lakeshore Public Radio, 89.1 FM, and on WVLP, 103.1 FM.
It's easy if you try.
We would like to welcome Chad Clifford to Art on the Air. Chad has been enamored with music since he was 5 years old, first inspired by the Beatles, actually. He started writing songs and playing guitar at an early age as well, and started his first band in junior high. In 1996, Chad formed the band Craw Puppies, which is also an integral part of the group Mega Beatles, along with the Chris and Lou Band. The Mega Beatles recreate the music of the Beatles. I'll also add, in 2007, Chad and his wife purchased Front Porch Music, a Valparaiso, Indiana music shop that sells, repairs, and teaches various musical instruments, as well as features concerts and open stages. Thank you, Chad, for joining Larry and I on Art on the Air. Aloha and welcome. Hi.
Hello. Hi. Thanks for having me, guys.
Very excited.
Well, Chad, we love having you on, and of course, your affiliation with early WVLP, like we talked about off the air, and then Front Porch. But we want to know a little bit more about Chad and your background and everything, your origin story, like I like to say. How you got from where you were to where you are now?
Yeah, well, you summed it up pretty good in the intro. I was shocked. when I was a little kid, I woke up one day sleeping on the couch, and the Beatles were on TV, and the movie Help was on. And I remember looking at that, and my dad introducing me to the early Beatle albums. I thought that would be a good job if I can find a way to do that. And because of that, I've been pretty bullheaded about it. You know, I started playing music in high school, and I was in choir, and I learned how to sing a bit, and learned how to play a little bit of guitar. I taught myself a few things and spent a lot of time, you know, just learning from old Beatles books and copying what I heard on records, the Beatles and a lot of classic rock, Stones, The Doors, The Who. And then in the 80s, kind of the new wave thing hit with bands like REM and U2. And I was in a band in high school called Digital Hair, which was a fun band that played a lot of cool alternative 80s music. We just kind of took it real, real serious, and we're very lucky to have played Popcorn Fest in like 1986. We were in high school and we got up on that big stage, and I got a taste of that kind of rock and roll thing, and it really grew with me. I moved to LA after high school with a friend of mine, and we played some of the clubs in Los Angeles and got to see kind of what that was all about. And then in the late 80s, I moved back from LA and became involved at Front Porch Music, first as a guitar teacher. In between, I went to Columbia College in Chicago and got my degree in music business. So the fact that Valparaiso had opened up a little music store was right up my alley. So I went and pretty much, I'm going to work here. And Paul Schreiner hired me pretty much on the spot. And I worked there for a couple years and then became store manager. And like you said, in 2007, ended up buying the business from Paul and Jane. And then just this year, buying the building. So I'm pretty committed to, music. It's just kind of been a lifelong thing that kind of through some good fortune and effort and energy, I've been very, very fortunate. Career.
I'm going to take you back to that couch at 5 years old right now, actually. Okay. So what else was playing in the household? Were your parents musical?
Oh, yeah, my parents are both. The radio was always on. You know, my parents were young, so I got to listen to a lot of great music. You know, my dad was into the Doors and Led Zeppelin, and still is. And the Stones, and my mom enjoyed like Steely Dan and Pink Floyd. And so, you know, there was always, you know, the radio was on all the time. So I was exposed to music. You know, the 70s was car rides and, you know, my sister and Elton John and all, you know, I just, all those songs, you know, the best kind of the golden age of music is, in my opinion, the late 60s and early 70s for sure.
It's pretty fabulous. So how with your band then, do you connect with playing, working with REO Speedwagon and the Romantics? So how do you have your band and then you get those calls?
Yeah. So we just got some calls to do all kinds of different shows. You know, when you start doing it long enough and you get kind of good at it, bands will call you to, you know, the opportunities to open for bands like REO Speedwagon, the Romantics, and then Craw Puppies have opened for even more bands like CCR and Styx and Sublime, and I'm probably forgetting a bunch, Cracker, a whole bunch of bands that we've opened for, like Counting Crows. I mean, just these opportunities, I've been blessed. They've come my way, and I'm very fortunate.
You know, I want to go back to Front Porch Music and tell us a little bit about, just touched on the history and how you came into that, but like what you offer there, I know there's whole, you do like, you know, easy light concerts and things like that, but just tell us about that whole operation of what you do with Front Porch Music, besides just being a music store. It's not just a music store.
Yeah. You know, if it was a music store, I probably wouldn't do it. What it really ends up being is just a place for that, you know, that kid that, and I say kid because we welcome everybody of all ages, but the majority of people that come in are these, you know, kids that it's their place, you know, for it's the place where they feel cool. It's the place where, you know, they may not, they may at school feel like awkward, or they, you know, they're maybe sometimes there's some kids that are simply, they don't have their thing, and music becomes their thing, and this is their place. You know, they come to the open mic. Some of them just come, you know, and just hang out, you know, and I encourage that. I like it that, you know, we treat everybody fairly. We treat everybody kind. And whether you're a beginner or a virtuoso, I mean, you're welcome at our place. And it's always been that place. It was that place for me. And I love that it's that place for, you know, I've got four sons, and it's become their place. And, you know, and I always joke that it's the same people still there after 30 years, but just they're different people, but the same. You see their face, you know, you see the same personalities in these different faces.
And I know that's what's so great about your open stages, actually, is that it is a wide variety of talent. And it's so wonderful to see people just having a forum where they can just try something out and feel comfortable with it.
Yeah. I mean, it is a beautiful thing. And I think when people get it and they get comfortable, there's so many people that it's their first stage experience is coming to it. And that's actually the first time I walked in the doors of Front Porch was in, I believe, oh, I don't remember, whatever, it was the night of the Rodney King verdict, and mm-hmm. L.A. was on fire. If you remember, I think that was maybe 92. So it was very early on in Front Porch days. And someone told me, you know, there's this little open mic downtown. And I felt like going and singing a couple songs just because I felt like I needed to do something, you know, creative and do something just to get out. And I went there, and I'd never been there before. And I went down in the little basement. My first introduction was just getting up on that stage and having people quiet when I played, you know, because I'd played a few shows before. And usually you're playing and people are talking and conversing. But Front Porch, it's kind of, I mean, we call it a listening room, because you don't come there to drink, and you don't come there to, I mean, there's coffee and snacks, but you don't come there to talk. You come there to listen, which is really a blessing. So I couldn't believe how cool that was. That was one of my first experiences where, I mean, I'd played plenty of shows, but that's one of my first experiences where I could be intimate and quiet and still be listened to. And I thought that was just beautiful.
Now, we touched on a little bit of your different groups, and we'll do that, but you also do a solo act. And so let's talk about that now. What kind of is your music format for your solo act?
It's the same thing. It's just a little wider. You know, with the solo act, I can do my originals. I can do some Craw Puppies originals. I can do I pretty much do most of the songs the Craw Puppies do, just kind of stripped down. But I also know a lot of, I mean, I've got a great memory for songs. So I probably have about 1500 songs rolling around in my head that I could just kind of pick from. And I can sit there and look at an audience and play songs that are, I just think would be appealing. And it gives me an opportunity to play more, because there's times when people don't have the budget, the room, or the, you know, desire to have a full band. So it still allows me to play restaurants and just different things.
How did the Craw Puppies come together? Like, how did you, were they old friends?
No, you know, the Craw Puppies came together in a very interesting way. In, I think it was like 1995 or 96, somewhere around there. The drummer and I disagree, so he's probably right because he's got a better brain than me about stuff like that. The Craw Puppies, I was doing this open stage, like an open jam with a friend of mine, and he and I would just bring acoustic guitars. And then one day, this other guy showed up with a bass. He said, "Hey, can I play with you guys?" We were playing every Wednesday at a place called Angelo's Sicilian Cart in Merrillville. And He just started showing up. And I said to my friend Mike, I said, "Do you know him?" And he goes, "No, do you know him?" I'm like, "No, but we could just click together." And he goes, "You know, I got this friend that's a drummer." So he came along, and we just kind of formed on stage out of that open mic. We got to know each other through playing music, and nearly 2,500 gigs later, we're still doing it. I mean, we're doing the math.
That's such a phenomenal number. Yeah, congratulations.
It's pretty insane. I've been going through, that's one of my projects this year, is going through my calendar to find out exactly when the 2,500th gig is, but we're getting really, really close. I know we got to figure out, I lost my calendar for 1997. So as soon as I find that, I'll be able to commit to how many actual shows we've done. But it's an insane amount. And I love it. And, you know, even this weekend, we played the new Hard Rock Casino, which was really cool to drive down 94 and see your band's name on the
on
the sign and the big old sign there, knowing that people stuck in traffic had to see your band's name flip over every couple 4 minutes or so. But yeah, it's, and we killed it there. It was a great night. So I'm so pleased that I'm still able to do this. And really, it's all about people still caring and coming out.
You're listening to Art on the Air on Lakeshore Public Radio, 89.1 FM, and on WVLP 103.1 FM. You had original music with Craw Puppies and everything, and I guess I should have asked you if we could have featured some of that, even though we're going to focus on the next group. But yeah,
they're in rotation on VLP, so I think people get to hear them.
Oh, okay, that's great. Well, I guess we'll move on to what we're really bringing you together for. Is you have an event that I guess you've done at the Memorial Opera House before. You have Mega Beatles. So tell us about the formation of that. Why it's mega? Because you have probably eight people in the band versus four.
That's exactly the mega idea. You know what happened was, being a huge Beatles fan, we played a lot of Beatles, and we got asked to do this event at the County Line Orchard in Hobart in 2000, and I want to say 2009 or 2010. I'm not sure. I think maybe 2009. And we played, and they said, you haven't know anybody else that plays? And we said, well, yeah, our good friends Chris and Lou. So it was the Craw Puppies and the Chris and Lou band, and we both played a little bit. And I said, you know, at the end, it'd be neat to play a few songs. Just kind of switched off. One would play percussion and one would play drums. And I said, yeah, this is really something special, because we're both, you know, we're all Beatle fans. So then after that, we started doing it annually. We added a couple friends. One of our friends is a guy named Chris Curtis, who's a great with all the, you can make all the keyboard sounds and make, you know, the string arrangements and learns all that stuff. So it just kept growing. So now we do about four or five shows a year now with the Mega Beatles. And it's really the Chris and Lou band and the Craw Puppies and a couple other friends. And it's mega, like you said, because there's so many of us, but it's also big. It sounds like we try to sound like the Beatles, but the fact that it's, I almost try to think of it as like if the Beatles, I try not to sound like the Beatles sounded in the 60s, but if the Beatles could have toured with today's technology, kind of what they would sound like. You know, that's kind of my theory on it.
Who sings which song, and do you switch? Like sometimes does...
We arm wrestle for each song.
I figured.
We are pretty good at... I love Lou Samaniego's voice, and I love to get Lou to sing and Chris to sing as much as they will. We just kind of, you know, we pick new songs, and I'll say, I'd like this one, and someone will say, I'll take that one, or I want this one. So it's been pretty easy.
Well, let's take a listen to Oh Darling here while we're talking about Mega Beatles, and then we'll get back to everything. So here is Oh Darling as interpreted by Mega Beatles.
No harm.
And that was Oh Darling, and I know Esther picked that one because it's not as well known among the Beatles songbook.
Yeah, well, Oh Darling's a fun one for me to sing. I think the song that you, the video you played was, or the audio was from a video of us at the actual Memorial Opera House, which is just such a great sounding room and such a great, cool, historic place. You know, it's an honor to,
gorgeous
to step
room.
On that stage. You know, my family is from... My great grandfather came from Ireland and settled in Porter County. So when I play on that stage, I often think, I wonder if he ever popped his head in here. You know, it's pretty amazing to think about.
Well, you know, and we'll hit this at the end of the show, but you have a concert coming up there. So tell us a little bit about the details on that. And I think there's still tickets available.
There are some tickets available. It's selling well, so hopefully get them now. Yeah, we're doing on the 21st of January. Mega Beatles at the Memorial Opera House. This will be our probably fifth or sixth time there, and it sells out every year. And this year we're focusing on the album Revolver, which is considered by many people to be one of the greatest albums of all time. And it definitely is one of my favorites. If not my favorite, it's number two maybe. But I love the Revolver album. And the nice thing about that, which touches on what Esther was saying, is there's so many great harmonies and so many things that go on in that, and the music, the instruments are pretty complex too. So it's really a challenge. We've gotten together for a couple of practices. We get together a couple more times and really, really study the harmonies and, you know,
can you reveal a song that you'll be singing?
The one I'm looking forward to singing actually the most right now is probably Here, There, and Everywhere, which is a Paul McCartney song. And the more I listen to it, the more I realize how just beautiful. It's simple, but it's just such a beautifully written song, and it's got really cool three-part harmony behind it. So that's one I'm looking forward to.
Yeah. Excellent.
And then you have a whole calendar for the whole bands coming up. You're doing, I guess, in April, you're going to be at the County Line Orchard and everything with Mega Beatles. But it looks like when you look at your calendar between Craw Puppies, your solo act and everything, you're doing some almost every weekend.
Oh, yeah. I play at least every weekend, sometimes, some Wednesdays and Thursdays. And I my joke is, as long as the phone's ringing, I'll go out singing. You know, that's kind of, it's simply what I do. And I get a weekend off and I start looking around like, you know, I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing. So, I do keep quite busy. I'm blessed. I'm very fortunate especially you realize it a lot after, you know, the lockdown, how I'm very lucky that I'm pretty much booked for 2023 and already looking at 2024 stuff. So
Chad, are any of your sons involved with any of the gigs in the music store?
Yeah. Well? All four of my sons are actually, I've got all four of my sons are involved in the music store, which is one of those things that also makes it just incredibly cool to do. And my oldest son, he teaches at Front Porch, and he also has, I gave him one of the little rooms on the side of Front Porch, and he's got a little collectible store where he sells Pokemon cards and different things like that he grew up enjoying. So he's got this little little store inside Front Porch, which I gave him one of the rooms. My second son is also a music producer and teaches at Front Porch. And he's also does a lot of my sound at my shows, and he does audio. My third son is 16. He's a high school student, you know, and he is clerking and helping at Front Porch. And my youngest son is, he's 12, and he spends all of his time playing keyboard, piano, drums. He takes a lot of lessons, and he comes to Front Porch and helps. So, my poor wife
wonderful.
Outnumbered, but we are, And we all played at the Front Porch Music Christmas show. My sons, we all played together. We did the John Lennon Christmas song. So that was very, very cool.
You know, we need to wrap up here. We want to let you have a chance to give out websites and information about Front Porch, Mega Beatles, and everything like that before we wrap it up and remind everyone the concert at Memorial Opera House.
It's pretty easy. It's crawpuppies.com, www.crawpuppies.com, megabeatles.com, frontporchmusic.com, and chadcliffordmusic.com. So I spent a lot of money on buying the .coms, but I own them.
There you go. Well, there, you know, that's Chad Clifford from Mega Beatles at Memorial Opera House, Saturday, January 21st at 8 p.m. And you can find out information and tickets on sale at Memorial Opera House. Chad, thank you so much for coming on Art of the Year and sharing your life story.
Oh, thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
That was terrific.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you.
We'd like to thank our guests this week on Art on the Air, our weekly program covering the arts and arts events throughout Northwest Indiana and beyond. Art on the Air is heard Friday at 11 a.m. and Monday at 5 p.m. on WVLP 103.1 FM, streaming live at WVLP.org, and every Sunday at 7 p.m. on Lakeshore Public Radio 89.1 FM, also streaming live at lakeshorepublicradio.org, and is available on Lakeshore Public Radio's website as a podcast. Our spotlight interviews are also heard every Wednesday on Lakeshore Public Radio. Thanks to Tom Maloney, Vice President of Radio Operations for Lakeshore Public Radio, and Greg Kovach, WVLP's Station Manager. Our theme music is by Billy Foster with a vocal by Renee Foster. Art in the Air is supported by an Indiana Arts Commission Arts Project Grant through South Shore Arts and the National Endowment for the Arts. We'd like to thank our current underwriters for Art in the Air on Lakeshore Public Radio, Macaulay Real Estate in Valparaiso, Olga Patrician, Senior Broker, and for WVLP, Walt Breidinger of Paragon Investments. So we may continue to bring you Art on the Air. We rely on you, our listeners and underwriters, for ongoing financial support. If you're looking to support Art on the Air, we have information on our website at breck.com/AOTA, where you can find out how to become a supporter or underwriter of our program in whatever amount you are able. And like I say every week, don't give till it hurts. Give till it feels good, and you'll feel so good about supporting Art on the Air. If you're interested in being a guest or sending us information about your arts, arts-related event, or exhibit, please email us at aota@breck.com. That's aota@breck.com, or contact us through our Facebook page. Your hosts were Larry Breckner and Esther Golden, and we invite you back next week for another episode of Art on the Air.
Aloha, everyone. Have a splendid week.
Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. You're in the know with Esther and Larry. Art on the Air today. Stay in the know with Larry and Esther. Art on the Air our way. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show